Welcome to Back on the Broomstick,
a modern witch's spoken word grimoire,
where two witchy friends from way back are reconnecting to their pagan roots after a long period of mundanity.
We're rewalking the path of the wise and trying out all the latest spells, rituals, and magical theory in today's witchcraft and pagan practices.
So grab your wand and your incense,
your cauldron and your crystals,
and join us
as we get
back on the broomstick.
Hi, and welcome to Back on the Broomstick. On this episode, Shell and I are joined by Dr. Cressida Stone. Cressida is a doctor of anthropology from Oxford University. She's also a devotee of Santa Muerta, a witch, a tarot reader, and the author of the book Secrets of Santa Muerta, a guide to the prayers, spells, rituals, and hexes. Hi, and welcome, Dr. Cressida.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's an absolute delight.
Santa Muerta is a Mexican folk saint, a goddess who is the literal embodiment of death. She is a guide across liminal spaces from this life to the next. She is a protector, and she's a granter of wishes if you keep your promises to her. And she is considered a benevolent if stern mistress. She is very popular among the disenfranchised and is rising in popularity everywhere. Now, Shell and I were talking a little bit before you came on about how the topic of death in the United States is almost taboo in a sense, and our culture regards death with more fear than reverence. So a goddess who is literally death is fascinating. Can you tell us more about her and about the practice that she comes from?
Well, I think she's a beautiful goddess because she allows us to reclaim our connection with death, which is, you know, ancient, primordial, atavistic. You know, that connection has been there for all humans since time immemorial, because all of us, you know, our ancestors for centuries and everything on this planet is essentially, you know, going towards death. We're all mortal and we try not to think about it, but you know, every single living thing around us and even inanimate things, you know, like the computers that we're talking on right now, nothing is going to perdure, nothing's going to last forever. And I think being able to accept that death is part of life makes us a very powerful faith. And in my mind, it's sort of non-dualistic. Because in the West, we kind of try to separate life from death, and death is seen as this negative thing we all want to avoid. And, you know, we're all very focused on life, but in a way we're blinded by that. And I think it stops us from being grateful in a way for the day to day, because connecting for me with Santa Muerte has made me grateful for every breath, for every day, not just for myself, but the people that I love and that I care for. And for the many devotees that I've met during my time, you know, who my work is dedicated to Santa Muerte and also to the devotees I've met, because so many people that I've met in Mexico and more recently, I went to California to visit devotees in the inland, what they call the Inland Empire. And I didn't realize how dangerous it was and how tough lots of Chicanos, you know, Mexican American people have it there. And, you know, lots of people living on the knife's edge of life and death. And so I think that being able to be grateful for people being alive every single day and trying to understand that is a very, very powerful process.
Now, I wanted to ask you, you know, when I've known absolutely, I went into this knowing nothing about this subject, I will admit that. And so when I was doing some research, I had found a couple sources that stated that this was kind of a relatively new thing, which obviously it's not, but it seems to have become more mainstream. Could you kind of touch on maybe the resurgence of worshiping Santa Muerte?
Sure. And that's a great point, Shell. Obviously, it's not a new thing, you know, and if we look at Mexican history and even our global history, there have always been death deities, you know, and particularly in Mexico, we can trace them back really far to pre-colonial times. So this is not a new thing, but I think there's been a resurgence, as you point out, Shell, because we're living in tumultuous times. And I think that furthermore, some of the religions that, you know, we sort of have on offer on the menu are not satisfying to a lot of people. For example, you know, it is a form of sort of folk Catholicism. It blends Catholic practice, but also witchcraft, brujería, and indigenous beliefs. And I think that's a lot more appetizing to people who want to return to sort of the more ancient spiritual paths, people who are also interested in witchcraft. And I think people seeking to reclaim, as I said earlier, that connection with death, which we all have, you know, and that's a universal connection that we all have. And I think that people are very tired of some of the mainstream religions like Catholicism because of the scandals therein, right? And I think that a lot of people have gone through, I mean, a lot of devotees that I've met that work with Santa Muerte have been through trauma of some kind, right? Whether it's a near death, a literal near death experience, right? Where you nearly die or a loved one nearly dies. But it could also be a severe trauma in your life, you know, your business going bankrupt, sexual harassment, right? A terrible breakup with someone that you love. All these things can be very distressing, and it can almost feel like you die, right? You can hit rock bottom. And I think that Santa Muerte, because she is not just death, she's also life, because this is non-dualistic, allows you to kind of be reborn, but not in the evangelical sense, right? More in the sense of kind of accepting that death of the self, but to emerge stronger, almost like Nietzsche, you know, what does not kill me makes me stronger, but I accept, you know, that I could potentially, you know, die tomorrow, that things could fall apart, but I take strength from this.
I really love how you put that. You said it's transformative. And we're all tarot readers here. We all know the death card in tarot, and it doesn't usually mean physical death. It has many other meanings, a lot of them around major transformation or change, major changes in your life, the ending of one phase and the beginning of another. And like you said, some of these major changes in life can feel like death. You know what? A relationship ends, it feels like the end of everything. And even though death can be scary in a lot of ways, it's also transformative. And I think as tarot readers, we inherently understand that. And with everything that people are going through the last few years, I mean, we had COVID and everything, people are coming face to face with death, or maybe their own mortality, or with the major changes that we're all kind of going through more often.
The world as a whole has been having a lot of trauma the last 4 or 5 years.
Oh, it's been so tumultuous, right?
People who maybe have not had death in the forefront of their mind, so to say, have in the last few years, whether they like it or not, because the effects of what's been going on, you know, rich, poor, third world country, first world country, like everybody, like you said, has been on the knife's edge for the last several years, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, I mean, the economy, right? Inflation, global warming. I mean, in some Hindu traditions, they talk about this being Kali Yuga, right? The sort of end times with this figure of Kali that some people have compared to Santa Muerte, although I do believe they're very distinct. But, you know, Kali kind of is connected to death as well. So we're living in very difficult times where we have to deal with so much. And Santa Muerte allows us, you know, as you said, Leila, to take these very intense feelings and transform them into strength and gratitude and all of this. But I mean, she can just offer you so much. She has this very complex character, so she can offer life in so many facets. So, you know, bringing love life, you know, but whether it's a new partner into your life or sweetening things with perhaps someone with whom things have gone sour. She can give you economic success, riches, help you with your business, you know, improve your finances, abundance, all that kind of thing. She helps a lot with healing. In Mexico, they often call her the Santa Sanadora, which means the healing saint. I mean, it sounds better in Spanish, right? Because you've got that alliteration of the double S. I guess you could say the salubrious saint in English. So she helps you with that. She can bring pregnancy, you know, to a barren womb if you're struggling with that. But at the same time, she's non-judgmental. She's sort of an amoral figure because, you know,
Comes for us
death is
all.
amoral, right? So you can hex your enemies, you know, you can do a lot of baneful work as well. with Santa Muerte, you can get revenge. And then I think that's part of the appeal as well of this religion, is that there's no judgment. And I've been thinking a lot about this because I've met devotees from all walks of life. Anybody can be a devotee of Santa Muerte, no matter what color you are, what sexual orientation, because death comes to us all. She judges nobody. And I think, and you can have any job, legal, illegal, any vocation. I've met everybody from lawyers, housewives, fishermen, farmers, to people who, have problems with drugs, who worship her and who work with her. And I was thinking about that, and I think the reason is that, she is a female figure, so she is a mother to us all, the oldest mother. Death is like, the mother to us all, right? Because we all return to her. And I've thought about it a lot, that, a lot of religions don't accept people for who they are, but everybody, no matter who they are, needs to be loved, wants to be protected by a mother who will take care of them. And that can be very hard in certain situations because of perhaps sexual orientation, or if you have, drug habits that perhaps make it very difficult for perhaps people in your family, to be close to you or be accepted. But she just accepts everybody, flaws and all. And I think that we, in this day and age, people need that. Because it's very hard, I think, in today's society to abide by religions that are very strict, about notions of sin. You must do this, you mustn't do that. It's very hard to be on the straight and narrow in a society that, which I say in most places is very corrupt, right? And where, for especially
Absolutely.
people living in poverty, and for all of us, sometimes you may have to do things that you wouldn't want to have to do just to get by.
I think that's one of the things that I really loved about Santa Muerta that I learned in your book was that she is so all-encompassing. It's not just that she will love you no matter who you are. She belongs to all of us, but there's so many different aspects of her, so many different faces that she can show you depending on what you need in your life or what you're looking for in your life. I was very surprised to see the pregnant belly Santa Muerta, but I guess I shouldn't be because she is life and death. From me you proceed and unto me you shall return, that type of goddess, and so I liked reading about the red Santa Muerta, where she is about lust and love and sexuality and the healing aspects of her. And you can even go to her for fertility. And so I was surprised, but then when I reflected on it, I wasn't so surprised because she is everyone. She is everything. And can you talk a little more about her aspects and the different colors that go along with her?
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you. That's a great question. So let's start. They're the three basic colors that, you sort of encounter in all religions. They're pretty much universal, which is white, red, and black, which is a sort of holy trio in many places, in many religions, and sort of correspond to the same things across the world, more or less. So white is really the color for, healing, peace, cleansing, harmony. And, in her white gown, I would say that's sort of the safest form to work with. And you really can't go wrong with white, because, if you think of that color, it's just so calming. And you can imagine her, because she wears this white gown, just covering you with that gown and cleansing you and bringing you, your loved ones, your home, peace. So you can turn to white for any situation, perhaps if there have been arguments in the household or with your loved ones, to cleanse, as I said, things, and just finding equilibrium, harmony. So in her white gown, she's sort of very, I would say, almost angelic, like an angel of death in that color, because it's such a pure color. And then you have red, which you mentioned, Layla, which is all about passion, love, sex, desire, sort of bringing spiciness, and can also be used, as a power color as well. I mean, I've met some devotees who use her for power, because red is a very powerful color and obviously links to blood, right? Where white, we know that's the color of peace. Red is the color of blood, passion, fire, as it were. So you can turn to her for, finding love and passion and desire. You can turn to her for sweetening a relationship, as I said, kind of gone sour, where you want things to get fiery and sexy again. And you can turn to her, for same sex love as well, because there's no sinful notions around this and strictures or anything of that nature. And like I said, people use her to get power, to feel more strength, to feel their own inner fire. So definitely you want to work with red santamuerte for that. Light red candles, give her apples, honey, candy, those sweet and sexy things that perhaps you might want to give a lover as well, like a box of chocolates, red roses, that kind of thing. And then you have black Santa Muerte. And black, of course, in most cultures is associated with darkness, death, potentially destruction. What's interesting in Santa Muerte is that she can be used sort of in two ways: for protection against enemies, keeping yourself and your loved ones safe, whether that's children, us women keeping ourselves safe in difficult and dangerous situations, but also for revenge, and also to bring death to your enemies. Because as you said, Layla, from me you come and to me you will return. So she has this kind of dualistic side where she can grow things and bring life, but she can also wither that life away.
I brought you into this world and I can take you out, as many 90s mothers would say, right?
Exactly. So, and in her red aspect, she was kind of sexy, flirty. She's very feminine. In her black aspect, a lot of people have told me in Mexico that they respect her like very strongly in her black gown, because she can be so lethal, so potent, so powerful. She can just take your enemies out in one fell swoop. So in that aspect, you can turn to her for a lot of baneful magic, hexes, and literally I've seen people ask her for the ruin of their enemies. And people can judge this, but again, coming back to us as women, since we're a trio of women, a trifecta, I've seen people turn to Black Santa Muerte, people like sicarios, narcos, asking for revenge. But at the same time, I've seen women use those same prayers and those same ways to ask for protection from, men that would threaten them, or men that have hurt them or their loved ones. So,
I mean, there's hexing and then there's hexing, you know?
yeah. So I just find that very, very intriguing and very powerful, as well. I don't know if you have any more questions on Black Santa Muerte.
I do think it's very consistent, though, that it has the three aspects, just like a lot of female deity across the world, that maiden mother crone, that triple aspect, that triple face. So I do find it very interesting that Santa Marte has that triple aspect as well.
And you can ask, literally you can ask, like, if you want someone to get vices, like, if I've heard of women say that, this guy messed me over, he cheated on me, I'm going to ask Santa Muerte to ruin his life, make him go, crazy, hook up with women that are bad for him, that take all his money, turn to drugs, alcohol, have everyone in his family fight with him so he has no more support. I mean, you can ask her for that. And obviously, she will help men, but I've heard women say, well, because she's a woman like us, she understands the suffering that we go through and she will support us with that.
Do you think that she is a deity that can be equally worshipped by men?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I know that many men sort of turn to her as a motherly figure. And I mean, of course, as women do. And for a lot of people, and I've started writing about this in my academic work, I think she's the mother that they never had. Or the mother that they wanted to have,
I
right?
wish
Because a
that they
lot of
had.
us have had difficult, some of us have great relationships with our mothers, some of us don't, or some people have lost their mother, but she's just this timeless mother. There are other colors, so going beyond the three main colors, and the colors keep expanding. The color on my book is the purple Santa Muerte, and the reason why I chose purple is that that's the color not only of healing. Again, you can turn to purple Santa Muerte for healing, but the color of magic, witchcraft, tapping into your psychic side, getting visions from the great beyond, connecting with the astral plane, you know, and I absolutely love working with that color. And in fact, last night I had a dream of purple Santa Muerte, because I'm a university professor, I dreamt that I was with a group of mature students walking through the woods, just for a sort of field research trip. And I found a shrine of purple Santa Muerte. And in the dream, I had a student who was smoking a blunt. And by the way, yeah, you can offer marijuana to Santa Muerte along with other offerings. So I had a student who was somehow smoking a blunt. And I was like, let me grab that. I want to give some of that smoke to Santa Muerte. And I started breathing the smoke onto her. And they were like, I want to do that too. I was like, hey, are you a devotee? And they're like, no. I was like, well, maybe you shouldn't. So anyway, it's just a little segue there, but it was a really interesting dream. So purple Santa Muerte is all about mysticism. And for those of us, you know, who are into our witchy side and want to connect with that more, she will help you with that. And obviously, you know, working with dreams and other realms is very important in this tradition.
Now, you just mentioned the difference between being a devotee and not. Could you talk to the point of what would someone do if they are just being exposed and want to start being a devotee? What are the steps to kind of get yourself to be a devotee of Santa Muerte?
Well, if I'm going to be, you know, utilitarian, buy my book. But apart from that, now on a more serious note, I would say just start a small altar, and you don't need to buy a statue. You can literally, you know, I know a lot of people, whether it's in Mexico or, you know, in Europe or UK, US, Canada, wherever it is, that have simply started with a printed image of her. You know, if you have a printer, print one out. If you don't, go to a print shop. I know people even just painted an image of her, right? She loves creative devotional art. So you can paint a little picture or draw a little picture of her. All you need is to start with that and some basic offerings. This is not, as I've said repeatedly in my book, it's not a spirituality about money. You know, though you do need to give offerings, even if those can only be basic, such as, you know, just putting a little tea light candle on your altar, buying an extra apple when you go to the supermarket, you know, and giving it to her, a little piece of candy, that is sufficient. A glass of water, right? So she always loves her booze. If you're a smoker, a cigarette, or a cigar, because, you know, tobacco has been sort of an indigenous offering for a long, long time.
Even a pinch of marijuana.
Give her a pinch of marijuana. Now, you know, you can give her other drugs. I've heard of people giving her cocaine, but I have been told by users of hard drugs that she doesn't particularly always like those drugs. And even though she's been framed by the press as a narco saint, even though she'll support you, even if you do take drugs, perhaps she's not okay with you putting that on your altar. And she does try to support people in her amber color. We haven't spoken about her amber color, and I will go through the other gowns. The amber color is to try and break addictions and vices. So if you have a bad habit, whether it's drugs, drinking, gambling, you know, it could even be spending too much time on Amazon.com and ordering the stuff that you don't need.
Guilty, guilty as charged.
You can work with amber Santa Muerte, an amber candle, and ask her to break bad habits. It could be an unhealthy relationship, right, with someone who is bad for you. You know, that is how I would suggest you could start off with just a very simple altar and just, you know, slowly, slowly moving forward. And then with time, if you want to expand that by statues, then you can.
I really loved a couple points you made about starting an altar to Santa Muerta. Shell and I talk a lot about intention and how you don't need fancy tools to do magic. And I loved seeing that Santa Muerta does not care if your candle costs $50 or if it's a recycled tea light. The intention is the point. She likes nice offerings, but she really wants them to be something that you have given from your heart, an offering that you've given because you want her to have it.
Right.
And I just love the idea of offerings from the heart rather than the bank account, you know?
The intention is more important than the price tag.
And also, she sounds a little bit like a jealous goddess. She has to have the biggest statue and she wants to be the only goddess on the altar. But other than that, she seems really good with what you're able to give her. Your offerings don't have to be elaborate, but they do have to be heartfelt. Is that true from what you've experienced?
Exactly. Absolutely. And she should be the only one on the altar. I mean, like, if you get more advanced, then people in Mexico may put other sort of figures that kind of get along with her on the altar. But if you're starting out, you know, she is a jealous figure. She wants your attention. You know, I always think of her altar as sort of her house. She doesn't want to share her house with other people, right? She wants to be queen of her castle. And so she should be, because she's queen of death. I mean, death is so powerful, so supreme. And you're absolutely right, and thank you for reminding us of that. Things don't have to be extremely expensive, but spending time with her, praying to her daily, you know, showing your veneration, respect, reverence for her is more important.
Than any dollar spent. Yep.
Yeah, because, you know, you can buy her the most expensive bottle of tequila. She does love tequila, mezcal. You know, people also like to buy her whiskey and other hard liquors. She does love her hard liquors. But let's say you buy her a really expensive bottle of booze, but you're not praying to her every day. When you walk past her altar, you're not like, oh, hi, Santa. You know, you don't sit down and talk to her.
No, I'll be for naught.
Yeah. And she does listen. And I think, you know, in a way, there's so many reasons why I called my book Secrets of Santa Muerte. And people often erroneously think it's because I'm saying, oh, all the secrets are in this book. Yeah, there's a lot of great information in the book, but it's also about the fact that you can share your secrets with Santa Muerte, and you should do. You know, you should talk to her, you should tell her everything. And I think that's the beauty as well of this spirituality, is that from what I've seen, people can share things with death, because, you know, death takes things to the grave, right? Nobody, death doesn't tell. So trauma that you've gone through, feelings that you worry about, you can share them all with her. And because there's kind of no sin, there's no judgment. And so you can pray on that, you can talk on that, and she will also share her secrets with you as to how to overcome things, or send you messages, like I said, in dreams, as I put in the book, in animal and insect omens as well. So I think this relationship with death is very intimate.
Now, beyond the red and the white and the black and the purple and the amber, what are other colors?
Yes. So we also have yellow and gold, which are similar but kind of different. So gold, obviously, for abundance, right? Abundance, especially in finances, but, you know, you could use that for abundance in other areas in your life. Yellow is more for sort of success, sort of positive, that positive, almost sun-like energy, right? Breathing that into things. So it doesn't necessarily have to be finances. So yellow is more of that kind of energy. And then you have blue as well, which is often used with yellow to sort of as a sort of abrecaminos, road opener type energy, because blue is the color for clarity, communication, wisdom. In Mexico, and I've even seen one of my Mexican students use this. Blue is used for like success in exams, right? Doing well in exams, studies. I just saw the other day on social media, one of my students, my former students at UBC, posted a little picture of her blue Santa Muerte statue, saying, "I'm praying to her so that I can do well in my exams." And, you know, I've seen kids in Mexico as well put a blue Santa Muerte statue by their side when they're studying for school or trying to write a paper, right? And she can support them with that. So really good for focus, clarity, wisdom. And like I said, because you can combine that with the yellow, right? Because yellow is success, and that's a sort of road opening combination. The other colors are green for justice, legal work. And, you know, justice here is perspectival. So that means maybe you broke the law, right? But you feel sorry, or you kind of felt forced into doing something illegal, or now you kind of feel bad about it, and she will take your side. You know, I had a very interesting interaction with someone who reached out to me who had just been freed from jail and who had had my book in jail. And my book had really turned things around for them and really furthered their connection with Santa Muerte. And they said to me that they had turned to green Santa Muerte. And whereas other prisoners, you know, and I have some spells in the book, of, including law spells, like legal spells to win your court case and stuff like that. And they said, whereas other prisoners were having like drugs smuggled inside or other, things that they shouldn't have smuggled inside for various purposes, they were getting like twigs, spell like roots that I had suggested and little ingredients and elements I had suggested in the book smuggled inside so they could do this work. And they did, after 7 years of being in jail, there was a change in the law somehow miraculously, and they were freed from their jail cells. So, and they had committed a very, very serious, crime, which I won't go into, but you can imagine for 7 years, you didn't just break the speed limit.
You didn't just take a candy bar from the local store.
You mentioned people petitioning Santa Muerta for certain things. They would do spells or prayers to her to ask for justice or maybe a better job, or in the case that you just mentioned, getting out of jail. From what I understand, she requires some type of reciprocation for that. A thank you, an offering to her, or blessings and prayers to her. Is that something that she requires after answering a prayer for a devotee?
Yeah, absolutely. And, many devotees, I mean, it depends how you want to work with her. And I really advise, even though I give instructions in the book, I tell people find your own way of working with her. I mean, it's like, with any relationship, you have to develop it along your own lines, right? I mean, even if you're in your couple, you can read self-help books, how to have the perfect marriage, but you've got to figure out how that works with the person that you're with, right? And I'd say it's the same with Santa Muerte. So I found that some devotees, when they're already working with her and asking for something, they'll already give her something, as a sort of almost, I'd say, an incentive or a thank you for even listening. Like some candy or, whatever's within their budget, some flowers. But if she comes through, it really is important to thank her. And if you've promised her something, you should definitely come through on your promise. I mean, it's like with anybody. If you promise somebody something, your best friend, whoever it is, and you don't come through, how disappointed are they going to be?
Yeah, that's just a life thing. Everything is a give and a take. You can't just take. You have to give,
And it's an energetic thing, right? Because, she is death and you want to feed that energy. So in a way, by giving her things, especially living things, that have like flowers and food has, energy to it, you're kind of nourishing that relationship. But I want to point out, it has been pointed out erroneously. And I started out, in my academic career, misunderstanding these things. Because some authors and I even said that this was a quid pro quo, which is absolutely not. I mean, that's just a complete sort of capitalistic misunderstanding of this. It's not a quid pro quo. It's about building a loving and caring relationship. And as you just said, Shell, that's about give and take in any relationship, right? It's not like tit for tat. It's more like I care for you, so I'm going to give you these beautiful roses and I'm going to give you my attention, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's really like any other relationship. It's just this is a deity as opposed to a human standing in front of you. Be respectful and don't take things without respect and thanks in return.
Yeah, and that comes back to our point of, that it's not about expensive offerings. It's about spending that time. It's about intention. It's about bonding, and it's just like with any relationship. Let's say you were dating someone and you thought you could just keep on throwing gifts at them for them to love you. How deep is that relationship going to be? It's not going to, and you're not even talking about a person here. You're talking about a powerful deity. So they're going to see straight through that. So it's really just like in a relationship with someone that you care for, giving that love, giving that attention, and especially because, she's a powerful supernatural figure, showing that reverence, showing that humility, showing that respect. And I think that that's where, that differentiates for me true devotion, and truly understanding what you're working with here.
Now, are there other colors beyond blue?
Yeah, so the other color, there's a whole plethora of colors now. One I want to focus on before I move on to some of sort of the newer ones is the seven colored Santa Muerte. So that represents the sort of the seven colors of white, red, black, purple, blue, amber, and green,
So they're
and
all in
what
one.
and they're all in one statue. And that's a really great statue. I'd say apart from the white statue for a beginner, the seven colored is amazing for a beginner because she sort of has everything therein. And it's sort of asking, so you can, there's two sides that you can use it for to sort of represent any color. Just like my person in jail, the, you know, the person that reached out to me told me, you know, they couldn't necessarily get a green statue, but they were able, I think, to print out a seven colored statue, and then they'd imagine it all in green. So you can kind of do that, because in some ways, you know, you can use any color and project the color you want onto it. But with the seven colors, you can particularly do that. But you can also, with the seven colors, ask everything to align for all her powers to come forward. So, you know, to sort of make everything go on your side, because maybe in one situation, you need the forces of the universe to align, right, in your favor. So by calling on those seven colors, you're getting all those seven powers working at the same time to make things fall into the perfect harmony, balance, or exactly how you need things to go for your outcome to be successful. So the seven colors is amazing that way, and often referred to as the siete potencia or siete potencias.
And it also seems for someone new to this, if they're not sure which color to pick, the seven color would be the best because it is all encompassing.
Exactly. And it sort of encompasses her seven powers, or as they often say, her seven virtues, right? Her seven gifts. Now, there's sort of been sort of newer colors as well that have emerged. So there's the silver Santa Muerte, you know, and silver has sort of a very ancient history in Mexico because silver was the main precious mineral there. And, you know, then when the Spanish came in, you know, they were mining for silver. So that again is associated with abundance, with finances, but also linked to the moon, right? And the silvery color of the moon. So you, if you want to tap into that moon energy, silver's a great color for that. There's also as well pink Santa Muerte, who is similar to red Santa Muerte. This is about love, but it's more about tenderness. You know, when you're seeking that kind of compassionate love that's less based on passion, but more based on sort of sweetness and.
Pink is kind of like grandma love, and red is like lover love.
Exactly. So, you know, maybe you want a relationship where. Yeah, maybe you don't want all that passion and fireworks because that can even be short-lived, right? But you just want that more deeper, compassionate, tender, sweet, loving care, TLC type relationship. So you might want to turn to pink for that. And I've also heard a lot of women and equally men turn to pink Santa Muerte for self-love and self-care. You know, when we've been through a rough time or we haven't taken good care of ourselves, like pink can really just be a very healing color in that sense. Another really interesting color combination, because she often comes in color combinations, is the red and black Santa Muerte, which they call the reversible Santa Muerte reversible. And that's especially for returning hexes, baneful magic, you know, could even be love magic done to you that you didn't want, right? So you can use a red and black candle or a red and black Santa Muerte. So the red and black Santa Muerte is typically, but not always, one side red and one side black. So it's sort of almost combining the black and the red, the power of the red with the protection of the black to just return hexes. It's kind of like a return to sender color. And I found that very, very useful.
I'm very intrigued by the color combinations. When you were talking about pink Santa Muerta and the couples, I was thinking how great it would be to ask pink and blue Santa Muerta and maybe yellow Santa Muerta at the same time to maybe bring in those energies to, say, for example, foster better communications or loving conversations by utilizing the powers of three different colors of Santa Muerta.
This is when I can tell you're a true tried and trusted witch, Layla, because you know this is absolutely the way to work with Santa Muerte. Is even though you may not be able to buy, you know, those color combinations together, the ideal way to work with her, especially when you have these kinds of complicated situations, is to use, as I said in the book, multiple colors of candles. And like you said, appeal to multiple colors of Santa Muerte statues so that you can benefit from those different colors, those different virtues, and ask for those to combine together. So absolutely, that would be a great, great example. And, it's really up to the practitioner. And, clearly, you know what you're doing. It's clearly up to the practitioner to tune into what colors they think that they need and what would be a good combination. And often, as you just pointed out, one candle or one color may not be sufficient. So turning to those multiple colors, multiple gowns can really better resolve a situation.
I think she's really a great goddess for everyone because there are so many aspects to her. Like you said in the beginning, she's not a dual goddess. She's so much more than that. She's everything. She's the beginning, the end, and all things in between. And I think that's lovely. It's a wonderful way to approach that kind of energy.
Yeah, she's absolutely amazing. And there are even more colors. I've seen copper Santa Muerte emerge. And again, that's kind of for bringing harmony piece, especially into a business or a place that it feels like the energy has either been stagnant or unsettled. That's a very good color. There's also Santa Muerte. I've seen her in her gown of dollars. And this is the idea that the dollar is particularly strong, right? Because especially in Mexico, the peso is quite a weak currency, or people see it that way. So the aspiration, is to have American dollars. So if you're really wanting money, then you might want to use Santa Muerte in her gown of dollars. So I just see more and more gowns emerging, and there's probably some that I haven't even mentioned right now that are out there or emergent. Oh yes, and one I should mention very importantly that now comes to me. Is Santa Muerte in her Aztec form or in her indigenous form, often called La Azteca? So this is when Santa Muerte appears, with the symbology, the iconography of, indigenous costume and symbols. So, typically with plumes, a plumed sort of headdress, often with glyphs and icons, related to indigenous people such as the Maya, the Aztec, etc. And in her Aztec form, she's sort of a queen of magic, also connecting with that primordial, very ancient sort of death energy. And at least in Mexico, where I've been to, people turn to her for a lot for brujería, for witchcraft, but also for connecting with ancestors and sort of occult ancestral realms. And so, she's sort of, I would say, more for the advanced practitioner. And typically that there needs to be a lot of reverence there to work with her. And for me, she's just absolutely mesmeric, one of the most beautiful and captivating aspects of Santa Muerte that I've seen.
It definitely has to be a give and take relationship, though, it sounds
Yes.
like.
Yeah, and she's a kind of almost trickster-like figure. So I've been told, and that kind of sort of comes back to the indigenous deities, a lot of whom were trickster-like figures, where, even I've been told with the black Santa Muerte as well, you need to be careful working with certain aspects of her. I mean, I wouldn't say white Santa Muerte because she's so caring and gentle, but these different aspects each have a unique persona. And so there are some aspects that you need to be very careful. And in my book I say, I give warnings, and some people are like, oh, why are you giving warnings, blah, blah. But this is death, right? It's a very powerful force, and certain aspects of her are certainly not to be played with, or you can, learn some hard lessons, as I found out firsthand. So I would say Aztec Santa Muerte is one of those aspects where you want to be very humble working with her and coming through on whatever you have said that you'll do for her.
Take it seriously.
Yeah, this is not something to be played with.
Okay, one last question, or well, actually, two last questions. Say someone wanted to connect to one of their loved ones that has passed on. Is Santa Muerta someone that they can call on for that? Can she be a conduit for that type of communication with the dead? And how would you approach her if you wanted to receive messages from a loved one on the other side?
That's a beautiful question. Yeah, absolutely. She is, because she's, one of her roles is as a psychopomp, right? And in Mexico, they say that she is the one that opens the window, the portal between the living and the dead. So definitely you can work with her for that. And in Mexico, I've often seen, as I mentioned in my book, pictures of deceased loved ones, ancestors, on her altar. And obviously they shouldn't be, more important than she is, but you can put a picture of them or something that they left you. I have a memento from my grandparents, a letter they wrote to me when I was a small child that I keep on my altar, and I connect to them and I honor them through that. And so absolutely, you can totally do that. I mean, you might want to work with the white aspect, but I don't think you really, really need to appeal to a specific color with that, because she is death. She connects us to our dead loved ones, and you can absolutely ask for messages from them, whether it's in dreams or in visions. And in the book, I talk about things you can do to get those dreams, to get those visions, and to encourage those. But even just praying to her for that is a very, very effective way, or to get signs from loved ones, and we all have our unique signs, right, from our deceased loved ones. So absolutely, that would be a very beautiful way of working with her, and definitely something you can do.
In the back of your book, you have some very beautiful prayers and spells and things you can do to honor Santa Muerta. Are there any particular prayers to her that you like or that you find yourself returning to?
I mean, I work with her sort of in English and in Spanish. So one of the things I just like to say to her is Santa Muerte de mi corazón, no me desampares con tu protección, which is simply, and I think I put that in the book, although the rhyme in English is not as good. Santa Muerte of my heart, do not your protection from me part, is basically what I'm saying there. So, Santa Muerte of my heart, don't abandon me, keep protecting me. And that's something I often say to her, and I try to be cognizant. Every night I pray, and you don't even need to be at your altar. If you can't be at your altar, it could be in bed, or it could be wherever you are. Every night I try to remember to just pray to her, and I'll take one of the prayers from my book, which is in there, which is a daily prayer, but I kind of adjust it. And I say to her, I thank her for specific things, especially for life, for the food that I've had that day, for the opportunities I've been given. And I think, every day we have something to be grateful for. And, my work in Mexico, and as I said more recently, with Mexican Americans in the US, has made me all the more cognizant of that, and of the privilege that I have, and the luck that I have to be in a safe place and not to be, fearful of my life on a daily basis. I mean, when I do field work, things can get very dangerous, and I've been in some very fearful situations. And it makes me all the more grateful that I have the ability to come home, to a space that is safe, that is not plagued by violence. And so that's one of the things that I try to remember to thank her for every day, and also to thank her, as I said at the beginning of this podcast, for keeping my loved ones safe. So every day I just try to acknowledge her, and every morning I walk past my altar, and I, even if I'm in a hurry, I try to just like say a hello, say a thank you for just even waking up that day, right?
One last thing I wanted to touch on that I thought was amazing that you put in the back of your book, and no one talks about this point, unbonding. I love that you call it a ritual breakup. A lot of people will kind of dabble with deities and quote unquote dedicate themselves to deities, and then after a little while just kind of walk away and move on. And that's not really how you should handle it. So can you kind of talk real quick about maybe not necessarily with Santa Muerte in particular, but just the process of when you've formed a relationship with deity and you've chosen to move on, unbonding. I love this, breaking up with deity. Can you kind of talk about that real quick?
Yeah, I mean, I got into a lot of trouble for that, as well as the blood pact. People didn't, one, like the blood pact, which was kind of, I thought, very sort of neo-colonial. But people also criticized me for the breaking up ritual, because they said, well, you can never break up with death. Death will always be part of your life. But as you just pointed out, Shell, lots of people will dabble with a deity and then just discard them with like no respect, no reverence. And that's very dangerous. So that's why that is in the book, because, you know, perhaps this isn't for you and you decide that you don't know what to do at that point. And I had heard stories in Mexico as well of people precisely doing this, asking her for favors, maybe even getting them, and then just forgetting about her and then reaping, you know, negative consequences. You know, I heard a story, for example, of a man who asked Red Santa Muerte to bring love into his life, to bring him a woman. And he gave, you know, he got a Red Santa Muerte statue, gave her apples, booze, you know, all these gifts, and then got this lovely lady in his life
And walked away from Santa
and walked
Monica.
away. And then guess what happened a few months into their relationship?
Fell apart.
She had a horrible car accident, right? And she didn't die or anything like that, but he realized this was a warning, and he was like, "Oh, okay, I need to, you know, address this." And so that's why that ritual is there, so that people don't find themselves in such situations, right?
Because it's okay to decide to move in another direction, but if that's the choice you make, you need to, just like any relationship, end it cordially.
Exactly, with respect and, you know, taking the right steps so that there are no hard feelings.
Right.
So that's absolutely why that's in the book. And thank you for bringing that up.
I loved it. I absolutely, when I saw that, I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen, because nobody really wants to address that. You know, even though it seems like a very simple ritual, it's a very important one if you are choosing to move on.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm not going to claim that Santa Muerte is for everybody. I mean, I think that everyone can connect with her. We can all connect with death, but you know, people have their own path. For some people, you know, they may not want to spend that time and that investment, or it may not be possible with their life moving forward, you know, and I'm not going to judge them for that. So I want people to have options.
A safe walk away.
Yeah, exactly.
There is no running away from death. You can't break up with death. We get that, you know? We know she's still going to be there, and she knows that too. But you can choose not to be her devotee and still know, still understand that death is part of life.
A friendly until we meet again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that one of the things with Santa Muerta is that she helps people appreciate life, because we know death is there. I understand. I mean, unfortunately, we see it in our lives in so many different ways, but respecting that can help you have so much more appreciation for what you have now and what you're doing here. And I think that's part of what she wants from us, is to love the apples and the flowers and the whiskeys and the candies and the joints and all of it, because it's all part of life, and you have to appreciate that, because we do all come to death. It's all part of a greater cycle, you know? And I love that about Santa Muerta, because she's not just the death part of the cycle. She's all of it.
Yeah, she's all of it. And that's what I love about her. You know, like I keep on saying, she allows us to reclaim death, but she's also very life affirming
Yes.
and, you know, allows us to celebrate life where we, you know, I wrote a publication on this, which is coming out soon. And in it, I said, an academic publication, I said, you know, although she allows us to accept death when it comes and where it comes, she also allows us to celebrate our life, enjoy our life in every waking and even sleeping moment that we have while we're still here. And I think that's one of the very beautiful aspects of her and unique aspects of her.
I think that is a beautiful place to stop our conversation. Thank you so much, Dr. Cressida Stone, for joining us today and talking about Santa Muerta. We very much appreciate your time.
And real quick, give us once again the name of your book and how folks can find your book and find you.
So my book is Secrets of Santa Muerte. And let me check the subtitle. I think it's a guide to the prayers, spells, rituals, and hexes by Cressida Stone. Easily available on Amazon.com, Barnes and Noble's, any major bookseller. I am on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. I'm on X, as Twitter is nowadays called. I can't say I'm a great TikTok Instagram witch because, much like Santa Muerte works in the shadows, I kind of don't like to air my rituals because I think that takes away from their power, to be quite honest. And if you're working with Santa Muerte, and in Mexico, they'll tell you working in the shadows is the best way to get that work to be powerful and successful. But I do give tips and tricks. I post beautiful pictures, prayers, that may help people in all different kinds of situations. So feel free to follow me there. But it's been absolutely wonderful, Shell and Leda. And I've loved this podcast because, you're both witches, obviously, and you just have all these questions which come from deep understanding, which is not always the case on all podcasts. Well,
Well,
thank you.
thank you. And we appreciate you so much taking the time to sit with us today. This was eye-opening to me because this is something I had never been exposed to before. And I found this very intriguing, and I am definitely interested in delving a little more.
Okay, well, I'm very happy to hear that.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Back on the Broomstick. You can find us at backonthebroomstick.com and at Back on the Broomstick on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We also have a fan discussion group, Back on the Broomstick Podcast Discussion Group on Facebook, and you can join us there. We have quite a great group of people. And thank you so much to our benefactors for donating and helping the show out. If you'd like to become one of our benefactors, check out the Support the Show link in the description. We will see you next week on Friday. Stay wise, stay wicked, and keep it witchy.